First, I'd like to just see if there's any questions or comments, just for a couple minutes, if there's any questions or comments about anything I said this morning in the opening introductory talk.
Oftentimes, though, I'm so new to some of this style of sitting, and if I have a pain in my knee, I think to myself, hold on, am I cutting off circulation? Am I doing any damage? Mm-hmm. And at some point, there has to be a decision. That's one of the reasons for wiggling back and forth on postures. But how do you recommend analyzing it?
That's a very good question, and that's some form of that we all of us come up against in meditation. At some point, our body's quite uncomfortable. Meditation is not always comfortable. That may be an understatement. And so there's a decision point, particularly in this type of practice. I've practiced in certain Zen traditions where there wasn't a choice. You just sat still through it no matter what. But in this tradition, it's invited for you to work with it skillfully and actually use it as an opportunity to understand yourself more deeply. I don't know if people heard her question, but she has pain in her, in the knee itself.
Yeah,
in the knee. And so concern about damage to, or something's wrong, and when should I move, or what should I do? Is that a good summary?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that leads into some of the comments I'm going to make. So, one thing is, you first of all, use this as an opportunity to notice again the difference between the sensation and all the thoughts and concerns around it. Not that the thoughts and concerns are irrelevant, but just really notice the difference. We often go immediately from any sensation again into our story, into our whole thing about it. And so it's again and again that what you can learn is to notice the difference. Okay, that's one thing I want to say. Another thing I want to say is there's sort of two kinds of attention we can have. And one is mindful attention, which is what we're cultivating here. But there's also another kind of attention that people mistake for mindful attention. And that other kind of attention, you might call mindfulness wise attention, and the other unwise attention. It's also important to discern or distinguish what you're doing with that. Maybe I'll just throw in a little teaching here as well, in that our discernment is the ground of wisdom developing. So every time I say you need to discern these, I'm inviting you to develop wisdom, an understanding of what's helpful and what's not, which is very different from what I like and I don't like. So this unwise attention, you might call it anxious attention, there's a kind of attention we can give things that is anxious, it's tense, it might be a little obsessive, there's often a lot of storyline or thinking around it, and we are aware of, let's say, the pain. So we sort of think we're being mindful, but the mindful aspect of it is actually quite small, and the big part of it is the reactivity of the mind. So again, that anxious sort of attention is a very habitual and not so helpful. So please notice that. And then there is the other kind of attention, which is the mindful attention, which is relaxed, which is open, which is accepting, which is welcoming, which is non-judgmental, which is warm. There's very much a heart quality to mindfulness. So I'm saying this again as a discerning. Doesn't mean you don't do anything. I'm getting to that. But so so that's the first step. Notice the sensation. Notice our story. Then it may be with the knee thing to at least spend some time exploring it with awareness, just the pure sensation of it. Because what happens is we get frightened, and then that triggers the story and so forth. So you can acknowledge that there's fear there. But at least for a while, just notice, just be willing to notice that. And what we call pain is usually variations on pressure and heat and there may be other things, tingliness, numbness. So it's to invite a little bit of that to actually enhance again the distinguishing between the sensation and the storyline of the reactivity. Now you might be thinking maybe there's some truth to the storyline, which, you know, I distinguish worry from legitimate concern. And most of us know how to worry, and bringing kind of wise, legitimate concern is something else. So as we explore this first, and noticing if there's contraction, noticing if you can actually meet the experience with a kind of more softness and kind of openness and space, giving it a lot of space for a while, see what that's like. And then there's two things. You know, it's possible you could do some damage if you were doing really a long-term retreat. It's highly unlikely in this situation and in regular meditation, unless you're doing a real lot of it, and even then it's not so likely. Not impossible though. So but if you have if you have damage to your knee, if you have a history, then you want to be extra careful. Knees are very delicate. So again, what I'm getting at is that this is a judgment call, a wisdom call, and each of us are. That's what we learn over time in our meditation. That meditation is an art. It's inviting wisdom to help us decide what we how we approach what we're experiencing. A lot of times people want a pat answer, and there isn't one. Often I find if you get a pat answer, people don't follow it anyway. So. People do what they want anyway. So what I would say here, again, with the knee thing, again, it brings up a number of different things. One thing I want to say, too, if the leg goes numb a little bit, which is very common in meditation when you're sitting, and it's just, in general, it's not a problem. It's unpleasant, but it's not a problem. So you again have the choice to be with that falling asleepness. And then at some point, you can choose to shift. And one of the criteria, and again, you need to become more, you know, with more practice and skillfulness, is finding, this is my middle path talk. Is finding the middle path between moving at every single discomfort on one extreme or the other extreme of enduring, getting into a place of really fighting, enduring, I'm going to just barrel through it. I'm going to force myself to be with this. And usually either one of those are lacking real mindfulness. One, you know, we move with everything as sort of an unwillingness to actually just rest in the moment and then and see what's there, and the kind of I'm going to, you know, sit through it. Often there's a real closing down and shutting down that's happening. So you want to find, so mindfulness is getting, you're not really developing mindfulness with either one of those. So when, if you notice you're getting into a real endurance place, sometimes just noticing that can bring you back to just a kind of more relaxed presence. But sometimes we need to shift to refresh our mindfulness. And so I just recommend simple movements. You know, whether I'm cross-legged or like that, just bringing a leg up for a while, refreshing it, noticing that you're not crippled, you're okay, and then at some point putting it back. And you can choose. The other thing is, this can be true of either sleepiness or when the body gets really, I call it cranky. It's almost like the whole body's in pain sometimes, or there might be a particular area, hips, knees, back. You can very mindfully stand up in the meditation. And again, that kind of refreshes you and relieves that a little bit so that you can come back with this relaxed and open awareness. So I'm saying this to you, but I'm really saying this to the... I'm saying this is all about working with... unpleasant, what I call intense unpleasant sensations of the body, rather than pain. I call it intense unpleasant. So sometimes when I'm having that, I just go, intense unpleasant, I got that, okay. I can be with that. And you're actually, again, the more you can sort of relax with it, ride with it, you're actually increasing and increasing your capacity to be open and okay and spacious with a whole range of experience. As I said, you want to be wise and not do yourself damage. But for the most part, you're not doing yourself. You really have to, you may know exceptions to this, but you really have to be doing intensive long-term meditation before that might happen, and it usually doesn't, but it can. Is that helpful?
Yes, thank you.
And you know, people can spend a lot of their meditation, should I, shouldn't I, should I move, should I, should I? And if you find yourself doing that, it's actually more skillful just to move. And get a little relief and refresh yourself. Again, you can move with real attention, real presence in the practice. And so the other thing I want to say about working with pain in meditation and out, and then we're going to do a shorter meditation before lunch, and I'll invite people, if you're experiencing pain in the moment, to practice with us a little bit with what I'm saying. Is we need two skills in working with physical pain and to some degrees emotional pain. We need the skill to be with it openly in a relaxed way, not obsessively, not in this contracted, worried, reactive way, which we know so well. You already know how to do that really well. You don't need more practice. you do need practice in this possibility of this, just meeting it in open space. That's the way. And then the other thing is you need to know how to not, well, let me put it this way. When a lot of times when people have chronic pain, it can happen with acute pain, so it becomes their whole universe. That's all they can experience. It's like everything else is blotted out. Everything else isn't blotted out. But our attention becomes so narrowed, and it's usually, again, this contracted attention. You need to be able to sort of allow that to be and pay attention to something else. And so having both those skills will give you a kind of flexibility and adaptability and pliability around pain. Being able to, at times, be with it in this attentive way, and then at times just let it, it's there, but you can, you're not obsessed with it. It's not taking over your, it's there, it's part of your reality, but it's not taking over your reality. And often people with chronic pain don't realize they've let it take over their reality. That actually their back might be bothering them, but the rest of their body actually feels pretty okay. And you begin to notice, oh, I can notice okayness. I can notice something else. I can notice, you know, just the feelings of my hands or listen to sounds. Sounds is a really good one. So I invite you to also play with that a little bit. So we don't want to get, mindfulness is not fixated. Mindfulness has this sort of light, open quality of presence. But it's, even when it's concentrated, it's not so fixated. Fixated, again, is this kind of contracting. Can also mindfulness, again, has this, I just want to say there's a quality of fluidity, of ease, receptivity, fixation and obsession is like going out to, and so I'm just trying to explain those. So, pain, you notice it in your body, you notice the difference between it and all the stories you have about it, and reaction, emotional and mental. You explore it a bit with just presence. What is it exactly? By that, again, I mean just the quality of sensation. You relax and soften. And then you can choose, when you know, find this balance between too tight, too loose. That's it, in a nutshell. Any questions on that? Any clarifications? I want to say I had some back pain for a long time. I still have back issues, but they often don't bother me, particularly in this kind of setting. But it was chronic and actually became this wonderful lesson for me. I really learned about this being with it without reactivity, just being with it, just being with it, just being with it. And it created a very deep practice. The moment I kind of went off, it would be like intolerable. Doesn't mean it was pleasant when I was with it, but it meant I was just with it. I can be here. Intense, unpleasant sensation. Okay. So. This won't be a real long meditation, but, and you may not I'm going to guide you just a little bit. So, in finding your posture, and again, you can work with breath as a collecting place, as a touchstone to the here and now. And if there's any place of particularly noticeable sensation, doesn't even have to be pain, what we might call pain, that's a relative concept anyway, but some area of noticeable sensation. I have a variety of those right now. It's from my arthritis. It's not quite to the level I call pain, but it's noticeable. Little achiness, perhaps. If you do, that'd be convenient for this meditation. Because I'm going to invite you to bring a same kind of open and relaxed awareness that we brought to the cycle and the flow of the breath. I'd like you to shift your awareness. Awareness can be like a flashlight that you shine on different things. The rest of the items in the room don't disappear. The rest of the experiences you're having don't disappear, but they're not lit up so much. They're not in the foreground. So whether it's maybe a little sensation in your lower back or your knees or your hips or your shoulders or your neck or even a contact point like your hands touching, which tends to be a very neutral experience but still a definable experience. And with the breath being natural and as it is, bring your, again, shine this light of just direct experience. Awareness is not thinking. Awareness can be aware of thinking. Awareness is more fundamental than thinking. It's just the ability to sense and be present with. And notice, as I said, if there's various thoughts or stories about the particular area of attention. And notice the area of attention. Let yourself meet it with interest, curiosity, kind of good heart, just be there with it, be your most intimate loving companion with yourself. And notice perhaps its pressure, its tingling. Notice if there's tension around it, and if that tension can soften, that's nice. If there's fear, notice fear, but see about meeting it without fear. If you get lost or distracted, you can come back to the breath and then meet the sensation. Or if the sensation seems too much, you're not really being able to be with it, you can again go back to the breath, refresh yourself, and go back to the sensation. And also, if the sensation seems even so more than you can just soften and open to, then mindfully shift your posture a little bit. And return. Before we break for lunch, I wondered if there was any comments or questions about bringing, working with physical pain, specifically in the meditation mindfulness practice, or anything you noticed with that little bit of instructing you to pay attention to some area of your body with stronger sensation. I'd love to hear from people if you have anything.
I found it really useful to come at it from a perspective of intentionally keeping the space open. I kind of bashed my foot yesterday working in the garden, so I was noticing the...
Can people hear?
I was noticing the tenderness of that particular spot on my foot. And if I placed my attention there and wasn't careful, there's a tendency to want to zoom in, and then it can get very intense very quickly. And so if I approached it as if you're approaching maybe like a pet and you're about to just kind of check it out, I could start to notice the intensity and not get overwhelmed by it, but to stay with it and gently come into the intensity, as opposed to kind of zeroing this focus and then all of a sudden having the intensity be too strong.
Yeah.
And so I could notice when it felt a little strong, I could back up and allow more space and then come back. Mm-hmm. And I could find there was kind of a balance of working with how much was too much and how much was just enough.
That's a great description, I think, of working with that way. You can sort of think of it as getting the right distance. And that distance, as you described, can shift a little bit. But it, just as you said, if you get too close, it's sort of like it's so in your face, you don't have, you know, it's sort of like if somebody was right in your face, you can't quite get a sense of them. But if you're too far away, you're not really sure what's going on. So it is. That's a lovely way of saying how you kind of play with that,
yeah.
And find the way to be open and sort of let it be.
Right.
And again, this basic principles we're talking about this. And I'll say in the afternoon about this with emotional pain, but it's true of everything. Any kind of experience we can have, we're bringing the same kind of openness and exploration to, and the same kind of quality of investigative, accepting presence. Yeah. Anything? How about you with
I didn't notice that it ended up being my shoulders. But I did work with the shoulders and also adjusted the neck a little bit, which was the culprit. Mm-hmm. But just even being aware of it seemed to relax the muscles somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it's very helpful.
Because there is, as I said, there's often a lot of additional contraction that's coming from our resistance, that as that softens, again, doesn't mean there isn't stuff there, but that softens and then it's more workable. So, and I guess one of the last things I want to say before we do lunch is also, you know, that in meditating and doing formal practice, it is this discovery of how to sit. You know, how to get your posture, what kind of equipment supports you, whether it's cushions or benches or chairs. Chairs are extremely legitimate practice tool. And when I'm on retreat, I actually go between cushion and chair a lot. So, and you know, beginning to get a sense of where that balance point is. So it is this getting more knowledge about what actually supports an easeful posture without getting caught in, I've got to find the perfect posture and I've got to do it right. Because you will never find the perfect posture and you'll never always, it's not about doing it right. So it's that little bit of a balance there. And so it's, again, you know, finding what works, you know, sort of the good enough, the good enough posture and so forth. Because you will not, as a human being, as a sentient being, we will not always be comfortable. Just isn't. So, any last question? And then we'll have time
for comment.
I have a comment.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me because a couple of months ago, I missed last month, probably because I was in pain. And I was not even thinking about that. I was sick, you know, had so many things. But 2 months ago, I came. And I was in extreme pain, and I decided I was going to come anyway because I thought, well, you know, what am I going to do? Just lay on the sofa and do the ow, ow, ow thing, as you were talking about, you know, the pain, pain, pain story.
Yeah.
Really touched me, you know, when I was thinking about that. Yeah, I remember that a couple of months ago. That was my story, was the pain, pain, pain. And I sat the whole time, and even some friends were here, and they said, are you okay? Yeah, I said, as soon as we start meditating, it's kind of like, I just kind of talked to it, you know. And it was like, okay, hopefully this will go away someday. And here I'm sitting here, nothing. I mean, it's gone, you know, 2 months later. And I'm thinking, you know, we don't really always have that grateful, you know, we talk a lot about that in our practices, the gratefulness of when we're not having the pain. And I'm sitting here thinking, isn't this nice? It's not doing that now.
That's good.
You know, and I was thinking, I wasn't even thinking that way till I came here today. Thinking how nice this is. We can sit here very, you know, not perfectly comfortable, as you said, little this and that. But I'm still learning the perfect cushion. I don't have a cushion, and I say, should I get one of these cushions? I sit all different places in my house, you know. So I appreciate that you're saying that, that sometimes it's like the quest for the cushion, like it is the quest for the perfect book to read, you know. You know? So, but yeah, I just really think that sometimes that transition period between pain and not pain, it's really, we have to like recognize it and not forget about it.
Right. So we can appreciate, one of my point here is appreciating the pain and difficulty and discomfort as a place to learn and grow, but also have profound gratitude for the opportunity to practice without pain.
Yeah.
Because you'll learn other things.
Yeah.
You know, without that. And, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh calls that being appreciating the not toothache. Not having a toothache. Yeah. You know, you don't appreciate that until you have one, and then, so, yeah, good, thank you. Okay, so let's meet again at about 1:45 ish. Gives us about 50 minutes, and I don't know what people have brought. And so as much as possible, you know, if you want to put out what you brought, and there's going to be some sharing of food, and again, thinking of it in gratitude and in silence as much as possible, there may be some necessary communicating or questions, and Lori may be the facilitator of that. But do so, again, with an attention to what it's like to communicate, presence with that, and also presence with your meal and with eating as well. So this isn't a break from the retreat or mindfulness. It's an opportunity just to do it informally with eating, resting, walking around, relaxing. Okay? Yeah, we'll ring the bell when it's time to join together here.